Okay, you have to get it working.
That is recording, see that countdown, so testing, testing, one, two, three, you wanna give the date and time and.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay, let's call the, I will call the special meeting of the Houghton Community Council to order. It's June 26, 2014, and we shall have a roll call starting to my left. John, everybody just announced their names.
John Kapler.
Laura Hine.
Brian Gothrop.
Elsie Weber.
Betsy Pringle.
And I'm Rick Whitney. So our agenda today, tonight, is to review the Fast Track Code Amendments roster, receive any administrative reports. I skipped the audience request because we have no audience. So with that, we will move right into our Fast Track Code Amendments roster.
Okay, and this is Nancy Cox, just to remind you that all we're doing tonight is deciding whether or not you want to have a meeting to discuss these amendments further. If you have reviewed them and you think that they're minor and you will not have any comments, or you would not expect any citizens want to come to testify, then you wouldn't need to do it.
Right.
They will be coming back for final approval at the end, but of course, if you think there are any issues, you wouldn't want to wait that long. So
let's go through these by exception. And starting from the top with number one, anybody have any exception with that, or feel that this is something that deserves further discussion or hearing of any kind?
Is this what you're looking at?
Yes.
I am on, yeah. Yeah, it's page 5 of the memo, or attachment 1, page 1. So
this basically related to all those little pictorial examples that we saw with the building with the bite in it, how all that junk worked. That's basically what most of this stuff is. Until we get down to the number of beehives.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So. All right, so yeah. First one, anybody have a concern about item number 1? Hearing that. Number 2?
No.
Mm-hmm. Number 3? Number 4? Let me just shortcut this. Does anybody have an exception with any of these items? We can just go straight to it. Because I personally didn't.
I didn't. It seems pretty straightforward.
I did not.
I did not.
Uh-uh. No, it all looks pretty benign. You know, it's.
It is benign. Arterials, yeah.
Yes.
So, if that's the case, then I think that we will just accept it as is and not have a public hearing.
Okay.
Okay.
Or a further
study session, and we would just basically concur with the city council, who decided that at their meeting that they had no changes on the roster.
Right. So you will not have a recommendation to Eric on this then.
Do you think anybody feel like that's necessary?
Yes. Okay. Was there anything in here that you thought that we might be worried about? I read everything. I don't think I saw anything.
Right.
I don't think they'd be proposing if they thought
no,
it was a problem.
No, that is absolutely true.
Especially after our last call.
Right. Okay.
And, this is, most of them are just cleanup, mm-hmm. as I said in the memo.
Got to the last pages,
mm-hmm.
and I read this entire document online, actually, mm-hmm. so I couldn't really make any notes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a bit confused on some of the measurement systems with red lines on the map on page 22.
Okay, and
it's trouble if you're confused.
Well, I'm
you realize that's just trying to cross it out.
It's just crossing it out.
I'm sorry.
It's just an X.
If you look at page 19, that is the new diagram.
Okay.
I sure didn't get that the first time either.
Okay.
So
we will clean that up for the ordinance.
Get your ruler out and you were measuring the angles.
Yeah.
I apologize.
The red circle.
Yeah. I looked and looked at this and I'm like, I do not understand.
No,
what you're
if it makes you feel any better, you're not the first person.
Okay.
Because it's the only place in this whole packet that's red.
Yeah.
But because whoever did this, it was a...
I got it.
Yeah.
I couldn't change it.
It doesn't really look like an X.
Yeah.
Whoever did this should be fired. I retract it.
We'll clean it up.
It's a joke.
Okay.
I did that too, John, and I didn't know what I was looking at.
All right, so now the follow-up from our April meeting regarding the Houghton Community Council questions. Any comments, any questions? How do you feel about this?
About the meeting?
No, this memo, they responded to the questions that we...
I don't know if this is exactly what Laura was asking for when she asked for latest information on the South Kirkland.
I think it was the other side of the property, not the trail side of the property.
And I don't think she was really worried about the name of the building, right? Changing.
Well, if you'd like to be more clear, I'm sorry. Janice didn't have any other information for you.
But I have some concerns.
And may I just suggest, if anyone ever has specific concerns about it, just email Janice.
Okay.
Just ask her directly.
All right.
But go ahead.
I drove by on 38th Street. I made a special effort the other day when there wasn't too much traffic. Where is our gateway going to be? Is it going to even be seen by from the street, from 108? And it looks to me like those buildings are... We asked to have brick and...
These are a couple of things that are coming up for us, Nancy, is we had a lot of discussions within this group and then also the neighborhood... I remember this starting back when we met down in the downstairs room years and years ago, and we were talking about the transit-oriented development. And I know that we had a lot of discussions about the building materials and that we wanted to have a feeling of permanence. That, you know, when we discussed brick, we discussed stone, we discussed not having just cement panels, we discussed it not looking like a cheap building, because this is the gateway into Kirkland. And so there were two things that had to do with, because we really felt like we were, I mean, that's a big deal what we've done at the transit. I mean, that's a huge, huge building that's dumping an awful lot of traffic, and it's going to get a lot worse. And so one of the things what we wanted was, this is when you first come into Kirkland, and so this is our gateway, you know, so we want this really to be something that when you drive up here, you are so proud. Everyone in Kirkland's going to be so proud to see this, and it's going to be our gateway. And I think we were all envisioning that at that corner there, where the light is, that there was going to be, and this came up at many meetings, that there would be this gateway. And what does that mean? Well, we talked about a statue. We talked about exemplary...
We also adjusted height limits from that intersection so that there was supposed to be a limit to the heights, and I don't know how in the hell that supposed to be stepped up from there.
Stepped back from that.
It apparently is, that corner is Bellevue, and so they got around it by that, which I don't know. I really don't know how.
Everything, my understanding was that everything that's being built, except for the park and ride garage, is in Kirkland city limits.
That was my, that's Kirkland.
Right.
Are you sure? Yeah. Then how is this happening, John?
That's,
I mean, you're the art, because we had those height limits with that gateway feature on the corner. So how can this be?
I don't know.
Can I suggest how it would be? What happened is that we were not communicated with.
But it's...
I know.
The approval was explicit.
I know. And what happened, from what my perception, is, I mean, I was on lists. I specifically got on lists to be notified about what was happening with the Kirkland Transit park and ride. And I went back and tracked when I suddenly realized, looking at the permitted applications, permits had already been given, construction was starting. There had been no notice to us, no opportunity at all for us to say, yeah, that meets what we specified. We apparently, it was assumed that we just turned this all over to design review, and design review did whatever they did, and the permits were given without any communication back to the Houghton Community Council whatsoever. And I went back and looked at all of my emails. There was nothing. No notices were done from the listserv that was there for the TOD. And I shared with you some emails that I sent. I sent emails to the architect. I sent emails to the developer. I sent emails to Janice. And it was too late.
Yeah.
They'd been permitted.
It's always too late.
It was done. And I got justification and explanation for why they did not acknowledge or adhere to our requests and specifications. It was not feasible to construct affordable housing mixed with the market rate housing. It was not feasible to do the kinds of surface treatments that we had asked for. It was just one thing after another, just wasn't feasible. And I was very dismayed because when I went to the architect's website, there was a whole lot of pages of how this architect includes the community in their design process and wants feedback from the local
community.
And to my knowledge, none of that happened after we gave our initial requests and recommendations and turned it over. It was simply ignored. Mm-hmm. And what concerns me now about this is I have people coming to me about 2035 and all the meetings they're going to and saying, well, you know, what guarantee do we have that the city's going to listen to anything that we say?
There's no guarantee anymore.
Here's a demonstration of how we said all these things. We wanted a grocery store. We wanted a drugstore. We wanted certain things. And I've walked around that site and tried to look in and see where is the retail space? There's hardly any. Mm-hmm. I don't know where people are going to do their shopping if they're living at that TOD. It is not. And I've been on the buses and I've overheard people saying, gosh, I wouldn't want to live in that thing, who are riding the bus. Mm-hmm. So I'm very concerned that the process somehow broke down.
Which makes me worry about the Houghton Center area, because if we can't have confidence that when we...
And I think that's why people are getting such pushback.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, it's just
the difference between the Houghton Center is a group of private individuals. Yeah, the TOD are government agencies. And I think that does separate a little bit because the government agencies aren't necessarily market-driven. Houghton Center will be market-driven. So I think that by itself should make a difference.
And even though it's a lot of extra work, it's our job to keep the design part of the center when it comes out, so that we have control over what happens with it. Like Caroline Pines. Can't say you're ashamed of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And with the marina and the marina building that we did. I mean, yeah, when we've gotten involved, I think the city has gotten
Yes, it takes a few extra meetings. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're elected for, is to do what the people in our area want us to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn it over to somebody else and have something like this happen,
Yeah. I still don't get how the height restrictions were. That's what I really can't.
This is just sort of amassing. It's not actually going to look like this, and then it's actually looking like that.
But we had specific heights. And so that's where I really don't get it. And frankly, after it's all said and done, I think, I at this point, you're right. It's so far along, there's no way we're going to change it. But when this thing's all said and done, I think we should have kind of a postmortem with the city and find out how it compares with what we approved. And well, it wasn't just a wish list. I mean, when we put in specific height restrictions and those aren't being honored, that is where I just don't. I don't know
what happened either. I know that I was very vocal about this through the design review process. I went to design review meetings and spoke up. In the design review board's defense, I think they made great improvements. I think they tried to apply what they understood
to
the rules.
Worse.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh,
oh my gosh, yes. So I think the design review board, I think there's not a lot of fault with the design review board, but something happened. because at the end of it all, we missed expectations. And this idea of a gateway to the city, it's not a proscenium arch gateway, but it is the sense of entrance. It's not there. It's just, it's not there. It is, it is completely a shame what happened.
Well.
Auntie, have you driven up that way? I mean, that building is like this, right out to the very corner of the... It's ugly. You come around that corner.
Let's wait until it's all done, and let's withhold judgment. And that's why I'm saying, hey, I don't think we should. Let's see when it's all completed.
I mean, I thought that was like, oh, well, maybe that's temporary panels, and I said, no, that's the real.
It's the massing and the articulation that we worked really, really hard around the pivot point in the corner to step and articulate. Something didn't happen, and the only thing I can think about is it got moved an inch outside the buffer line to do that articulation, and because the renderings on some of the metro stuff, it's just different than what we looked at. I went and looked at it, and wow, because there was an arcade that went around the corner, and the building stepped back, and a promenade, people space.
It was landscaping. Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. I mean, we should do a postmortem, and then because that should be instructive to us on how much we're willing to trust the giving up our authority on future projects or trusting somebody else with it. So
that's true.
Okay. Any other?
I have the other thing.
Yeah.
Just that there's just to bring this to the public record, subdivision that's going in on 52nd Street as you go down to right at the railroad tracks where the woman with the chickens and the roses used to live.
Yeah, Mrs. Jackson. And then the church, the little church is on that road too.
The little church is on their own, so that site right now, there's about seven neighbors who are really concerned about what's going on.
We've been getting emails.
Yeah. And we're all getting emails about it.
And the water.
So anyway, the neighbor who had, so I've been collecting these emails, and I don't know, I know that she's been talking to some people at the city. There's, the three issues are, one was height, and they've already had one survey done, but someone is going to come out again, I think, in the next week or so to
verify.
Measure and resurvey, because it sounds like maybe so much regrading was done at, that things are up higher. And then the other issue was there's concern, there's groundwater, there's creeks that have, there's accumulation, and they're worried now that there's going to be flooding on their property. And the neighbor I've talked to has been talking with David, no, she's been talking to...
There was a pretty reasonable response. The email response from the city, I thought, was well stated, with the foundation drains and so on.
She's feeling a little better. She says, I think our questions regarding the water issues have been addressed, but not having expertise in that area, I'm not certain. Perhaps someone on the council will know more and be able to assure us that the developer and city plans are sound, safe, and environmentally sound. So I think they just want to make sure that there's no, they can trust that this, what this guy is saying. The other issue is, this is like a hearsay issue, but I guess somebody who knows somebody in the city or something heard that perhaps the oil tank ruptured when they were removing it from the ground, and that it wasn't reported, and since it was on private property, it didn't have to be, but she doesn't know how to find out if that's true, the oil tank from her oil heating.
Fuel, yeah.
And some neighbor said that he was told by somebody in the city that the tank had been ruptured, but there was no reporting to EPA or anything like that because it was on private property. So I don't know if there's any way
Must have been removed?
What she said was, an additional issue has been raised by one of the workers. I guess it's one of the workers on the property. He suggested there may have been soil that was contaminated, possibly due to an oil spill when the Gallardo house was being excavated. This apparently did not have first-hand knowledge, but was told by someone else. We are unsure as how to proceed to verify or negate this, and what the Houghton Community Council might be able to obtain more information. So that's all. I don't know if there's anything we can do, but I'm bringing it up to the public record that it's possible there was a spillage of the oil tank. I know that, like, I've got an oil tank and...
Well, they probably would have pumped it first.
Well, usually they're supposed to, but...
If you have an oil company, if you have a company come and remove the tank that is licensed to remove the tank, they'll pump it first, and then remove the tank. If you have an excavation contractor willing to excavate the tank and throw it on his truck and haul it down the road, which is a very Department of Transportation big no-no, because you can't have that stuff in trucks that then you're going to put dirt in. That's a big fine, but some, you know, people do things for money. The only way to test is to get permission to do a level one test on the dirt. That's the only way to do it. And since it's private property, they probably won't grant it.
Yeah.
Level one test?
They just take a sample of dirt to look for. It's a sniff test on the dirt for hydrocarbons.
Because there's water seeping down through the property, it seems to me that there's a possibility that somebody could test
the groundwater. That's what she was worried about, the groundwater getting contaminated.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, there's that sort of swale and seepage area that's between the property and the rail corridor, across Kirkland Road.
Corridor. What state is the construction of the subdivision?
Has it
been graded? And
yeah, it's like, you know, this, like here, she sent pictures, so like, that's just grading. This is kind of where the house is now.
There's one house under construction, the others are still just, they've got asphalt driveways.
Yeah, the other ones are kept.
So the LSM is probably still being reviewed and built out, and they have one single family building permit as part of the original large lot.
So you could probably still check with a public works inspector. I can check with the public works inspector if he'd seen anything.
Have him bring his oil sniffing dog out with him.
Yeah.
Well, in most cases, if there's a spill that's going to contaminate groundwater, you can smell it because it's diesel fuel.
And they may remember about the pumping of the tank, too.
Mm-hmm. I would think you need to alert the city of that, right?
Yeah.
Well, there should be a record of the company that was licensed to remove the tank to be able to evidence that. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, you want it recorded because oil companies, when they sell fuel oil, they pay into a spill fund.
Okay.
And so they want it recorded when the tank is removed so they can stop issues of selling fuel.
So I can say on that one that Nancy Cox will check with the public works inspector. You could get back to me and then I can get back to Sharon or I can send you her emails. So that would be good. And then she does have somebody coming out to their resurveying the property. So
for height.
Yeah, so she'll let us know about that. And then the other, she kind of feels like the groundwater thing is probably, or the underground thing has probably been. But just putting on notice that, you know, these are concerns that have come.
Yeah.
Just wanted to bring that up.
Good. John?
Otherwise,
So item number two on our agenda, I would like to review, I think, mostly from a book report standpoint. If you all have any input, I would appreciate it. So item number two has to do with me asking a question. Have there been any complaints or knowledge in the city of Kirkland regarding what I'm referring to as apartmentized group homes popping up? It's very well aware of me. It's happening again in the neighborhood and where my office is in Bellevue. I share a zone with a single family housing neighborhood in my commercial zone. So essentially the issue is people are creating homes, renting rooms within a home. There's one kitchen, one living space, so it meets the definition of a single family home. But essentially they're renting rooms. It's like a fraternity or a sorority. In most cases, there are 12 rooms if they're building a new home, 6 bathrooms. Mom and dad live in one room and the kids live in another room, and there's 6 families. It's single family because there's one kitchen. that many people can live in a house because the Fair Housing Act, I think it was 1968, defines six unrelated people living in one home as a family. Children under 18 don't count.
Oh.
Okay? This is a now a big issue in Bellevue, and my understanding is it's a growing national trend. The Bellevue neighborhood became very active where my office building is to try and prevent this, because the reality is this is a multi-family use in a single-family neighborhood. It is very different from any of us wanting to rent a bedroom to a student or even two bedrooms to two students, where you would act collectively as a single unit family even though it's an unrelated person living with you. These are dormitories.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet all the requirements of the legal zoning and federal statutes. So the reality is they comply with the letter of the law, but when you have six families living in one house, not a duplex or a triplex where you have your own space, but in common wall living where you have to share kitchens and living rooms to meet the letter of the law, the reality is the private time is they're out in the neighborhood. And it's a multi-family. I'm not condemning this type of housing. There's obviously a need for it.
Affordable housing.
From a zoning standpoint, it's multi-family zoning, not single-family zoning. And it is not an answer for affordable housing in a single-family zone, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue.
I understand, John.
All right. So
making an editorial comment.
That's the point as I see it as an architect, as a planner, as a builder, as somebody who lives in a single-family neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the questions and the answers I got back, mm-hmm. I believe they're from Craig, the enforcement officer, because we're an enforcement-based community. So most of the knowledge of this would be through enforcement. I believe Craig's the one that wrote the answer. Craig's answer on the back page of item number two. Number one, he's not really heard any comments about this. Number two,
okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm not sure who wrote all this. I just assumed it was Craig.
Okay, so the first paragraph has to do with code enforcement.
Right.
And no complaints have been filed.
Right.
Okay.
So there's really no code enforcement issues. So it's not reared its head in
right.
in Kirkland. My understanding from the people in the Bellevue neighborhood that really now know how to find these types of housings through the way the ads are listed in Craigslist have told me today when I talked with them, oh, they're in Kirkland. They're just... Mm. They haven't come to a problem yet. Okay?
Okay.
So if six families are living in one family and they're acting as a family and working as a family.
But six unrelated people is different from six unrelated families.
Six unrelated people is a husband and wife, children under 16. That's a related person. You can have six of those unrelated groups in a house and meet the federal statute. You can have mom and dad, four kids under 18. That's one individual. By the federal statute.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You can have six families living in a house that are not related and meet the federal statute if the kids are under 16.
That was true. Well, I know David knows somebody who just got a foreclosed house in Sahali. Nice house at one point.
That's
36 people were living in it. People were living in closets. There wasn't enough bathrooms from six. So this happens.
Okay. So why not put occupancy limits on our zoning?
Well,
fair standing?
No.
Fair housing?
I have occupancy limits on my apartments.
Oh.
But the issue is now I sort of need to put my hat on a single family house and say, do I want somebody telling me how many children I can have in my family?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to have 12 kids, do I want somebody telling me I shouldn't do that?
You're not saying that.
But
you're
I think the related parts.
That if they, you know, that if they want to have a place that, that accommodates 12 people, it's in a zone that allows that. You know, whatever, whatever the number is, pick a number.
So if I could, I've got like four big points. Let me, I want to get them on the record.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we can discuss those. So there's not been any.
Yes. Can I ask the question first? Because what you're talking about sounds very different from the question that you posed in the memorandum. The question you posed was students renting rooms in single family homes like dorms. A student renting a room is different from a family and another family and a family, a whole bunch of families living in a house.
And I'm so glad you picked up on that, because this sort of super condensed my long oration about this. I think if you want to rent a room to somebody, mm-hmm. that's not a big deal. If you want to house a student, that's not a big deal. If two or three students want to live together in a house, that's not a big deal, because they have a common purpose for being in that home, and it's to go to school, and they act and work like a family unit while they go to school. That's different than what an apartment is. An apartment is the only thing that separates the thing that's caused a problem from being allowed and not allowed in Bellevue is that they don't have separate spaces with separate kitchens and separate living rooms. That's it. You share a living room, you share a kitchen, it's allowed. You separate the living room and the kitchen, and it's a duplex, and it's not allowed. You can't do duplexes, you can't do triplexes, you can't do fourplexes, but you take the common walls out and everybody lives in a common room, it's okay. And in my mind, that's an issue, and I believe it's coming. And so outside of us as a design professional, I want to make sure that I hit this so City Council knows about it, Planning Commission knows about it, etc. So my points are, number one, it said that they haven't heard any complaints about it, which I think is good. Number two, there's Fair Housing Act, which are federal statutes on family definitions. The city of Kirkland's not going to be able to touch, because those are federal statutes. And number three on this list, it says, I'm quoting, my thinking, this is not a comprehensive plan issue, more appropriate for zoning and compliance with federal standards. That's where I separate. I believe our comp plan drives the zoning. This is number one. Our comp plan drives zoning and determines where housing should go and what type of housing is included in that zone. That's comp plan driven. So I disagree with this. I think it's a comp plan issue. And I think, number one, it should be dealt with on the comp plan. Number two, I think, in my understanding, and I'll come to that in a moment with what Bellevue has done, I think it is how we define terms like boarding houses, rooming houses, single occupancy rooms. I think it's a definition aspect of the use of the building, not the size of the building, not how many bedrooms you have, not how many bathrooms you have, not even how many kitchens you have, and I'll come back to that as well. But it's the defined terms of the use to narrow down and further clarify the federal statutes without violating the federal statutes. Those are really the two issues. Now, quickly, for background, Bellevue has dealt with this. They passed an emergency ordinance, and Bellevue said, we're not going to go with six unrelated people, we're going to go with four. That's their emergency ordinance. They passed it a month ago. It's in place for five more months.
How does that comply with federal?
Well, it really doesn't. They're not. Now, Bellevue has had, and I've gone to most of them, Bellevue Planning Commission has had numerous discussions on how to resolve this, because they do see it as an issue. They just don't know how to solve it because of the federal statute. Okay? So they are looking at limiting people,
occupancy,
registering rooms, all these things that there's a lot of reaction to. And of this, there's a rental board of some sort, Rick. I'm not exactly sure, but there's some rental board. They've weighed in on it, and basically the rental board said they don't like what these group homes are doing in single-family neighborhoods, because it's messing up the single-family rental rates. It's a lot cheaper per room, but you can get 4 times the rent because you have more people. So that's why it's not in a, it might be an affordable housing way to do things in a commercial or a multifamily zone, but not a single family zone. The Master Builders Association has reviewed this, and they don't want to weigh in anywhere at all, except for the fact of the number of kitchens. Because a lot of new homes today, you put a kitchen in the kitchen, and you want to put like a little mini kitchen in the basement for kids' popcorn and that sort of thing. Most jurisdictions label 2 kitchens and 2 housing units when you put 220 in. Kirkland sort of does that. Everybody's relooking at that because you can cook anything in a convection microwave now that you only need 110 for. But you're really not allowed to put 2 kitchens in a home. You can put a kitchenette or a juice bar or that, but not 2 full kitchens. You just can't do that. So some jurisdictions now are even not let you put kitchenettes in. So if you put a movie room in, you can't pop popcorn in there. But it's okay to have 6 families. So there's all these conflicting rules that are happening. And I'm telling you, I think this is coming in Kirkland. I'm not sure that it's going to come into our little area of Houghton, simply because it's an expensive enough neighborhood that you're gonna, it's got to be a big house with a lot of people to pay the nut, as opposed to tearing down a normal house and building what we see are normal houses.
Well, we're not. Look at the U district.
But the U district's different, and my concern is the college. The college wants to grow. They need housing. Yeah. So
they don't need housing, I don't think. I mean, I thought their big growth was online and evening students and stuff.
So I probably misspoke there.
So I don't know. I know they have big plans.
I design neighborhoods that people go home to in the evenings and feel comfortable and want to raise their family. And single family home ownership is one of the things that really distinguishes our country from most other developed countries around the world, is the ability to buy, protect, and maintain something that you own. And I, because of what I do for a living and have seen over the past 30 years of how single family neighborhoods work, they are changing the dynamics of multi-generational stuff. It's working, but it's still about family, single family units. And I think this changes it, and I'm very concerned about this.
Okay. I'm concerned about why we're concerned, because what I'm hearing is we haven't heard any comments about it. Nobody has any examples of any of this happening in Kirkland. It's a Bellevue problem. If it comes here, then it does become a problem, and then we need to deal with it. But I haven't heard you say anything that says this is happening in Kirkland. It might look as if it could be coming down the road, maybe up ahead, but we don't have any evidence that it is. So why is it that we're getting concerned about it? I'm just trying to figure that out.
Proactive instead of reactive.
Well, yeah, my answer to that.
It's hard to shut the door after the barn's gone out or whatever, right? No, the cow got out.
That's my reaction. And in my Bellevue neighborhood where I'm at, these are not people doing this. This is investor groups. They're coming in and they're buying 10 houses, and 10 of them are going up. 10 of them get occupied, and the neighborhood says, well, I thought that was just a house being built. I went and looked at the permit. A lot of bedrooms, 1 kitchen, a 2-car garage.
So something like that could happen, let's say, on the Meriwether property where those big homes are going up, boom, 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 right next to each other, and each one maybe has, each bedroom has a bathroom, and somebody could buy that chunk at $1 million each and turn it into something like this.
Or somebody could tear down the little house next to me and, you know,
or that big property close to you that's a huge one.
And so one that's being built down at 52nd. I don't know. Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to... it's more complicated, I guess, than I can maybe articulate.
Really,
part of it is, okay, there's weighing the personal property rights and what people have the right to do with their property. And there are people who buy homes to rent them. There's a lot of rentals right near me, a lot of rentals. And if there's federal law about that, that we can't, unless we change the federal law, then I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around it. And I'm,
well, I guess it, if you
figure this out, because what I had presented here is not what you're presenting, so it's like trying to grasp something new and different.
John, did you say in Bellevue it's mostly new construction?
Yes, all new construction. Now, there are, I haven't seen them, but I do understand there are a few old homes that have like three families in them. But all the new ones are.
That they the reason they passed the emergency ordinance,
right, is all because of the new homes.
And
you look at these,
and they felt more were coming.
There's a door and a door. I mean, they look like triplexes, and each triplex has two families in them. I mean, you drive by and you look at them and you go, that's a multifamily building. But you look at the floor plans, it's got one kitchen, one living room, a two-car garage.
Hmm. But I mean, because there's like parking requirements and all of that for a single family home.
Right.
And so
a single family home needs two stalls and they can both be in the garage. They could both be in the driveway.
Yeah.
So they build a two-car garage, then they close the door off. That becomes a rec room. The two-car requirement
is. And there could be like 16 people. Right.
They're all parked on the street.
Yeah,
Or in the front yard. In a lot of cases, the cars are just parked in the front yard. You know, when the street's full, they just drive in the yard.
There's only one house that I know of in my area of the neighborhood. It's
really
maybe close to that, yeah, up on 114th.
Yeah. And again, it's
got a pool inside, and they've...
Yeah. It's how the people, act in a home. It's the people aren't, because this is over by Bellevue Community College, if three college kids are living in a house, there's a... It's very, very different than when
I lived in student ghettos in college, and I know how people treat that property.
They're just different.
So, I do. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there now.
Times where I lived in a room.
So I'm with you on the property rights, that sort of thing. In my mind, it's the use single family versus multifamily, and how can that be dealt with?
Yeah, because there are certain expectations in a single family thing, and it's a single family neighborhood, and it has to do, some of it has to do with density, you know, just like, you know, single families on this street, there should probably be about this many people. Well, if you have six times that many people, that's all of a sudden you're in a medium to high density.
Nancy's got her
street.
Hand up.
That's right.
On July 10th, the housing chapter of the comp plan is coming to the Planning Commission for discussion, which would indicate that it's probably going to be to you guys before too long. So it looks like economic development and housing are two topics that are part of study sessions in July. So
the 10th?
On a Thursday.
And I know affordable housing is a really, really big issue, but this is not
for
affordable housing.
August 25th.
Ours?
Oh. Housing, John, is August 25th.
You might want to bring this up to the Planning Commission before their study session, so just so they're preloaded. I mean, mm-hmm. So that it's in their sites.
So July 28th, isn't that already?
And I'm also trying to figure out how.
What the housing?
There's nothing on it.
I mean, I know of people where grandma and grandpa, one or the other, or both, move in because they can't take care of themselves in their own house anymore.
Sure.
And the kids who graduated from college and got married but can't afford to buy their own house
move in. We're not discussing housing until then.
So,
I don't know what's
Let's one person
There's
talk at a time.
Another situation where you essentially have three family units living under one roof with one kitchen, and yes, they're related. So, how do you separate that? And there's cultural.
I think we're talking about something different, though. We're talking about people unrelated.
Completely unrelated, yeah.
It's basically just
jam-packing as many people as you can into a house to make as much money as you can. It's not intergenerational. It's not like a Chinese family that has their grandmother come and live with them and the grandkids are there. That's not what we're talking about. And I think none of us would have any problem with the, you know, or like renting the college, you know, or having exchange students and college students, you know. We've all done that, but, you know.
So I would suggest that, John, please bring it up with the Planning Commission. Just express your concerns. This, rather than recreate the wheel, I have no doubt that there's a plethora of information on this issue out there and how different jurisdictions are trying to deal with it. And I'll bet that there's certain techniques that we can choose from that have been probably much more consistent with federal law than what Bellevue did, because I really doubt that Bellevue can override the federal. But there's
wouldn't that be what we're talking about though on August 25th?
Exactly.
Housing?
But it would be good to if
yeah,
it would get planning.
Homework.
Yeah, well, and get the Planning Commission on the scene.
Staff.
Yeah. And the staff.
So, what was it Colleen said? What kind of math problem was that? Or was it
wicked math?
Wicked math.
I like that.
This is absolutely a wicked math problem.
Yeah.
And this is something that's just very interesting to me because of what I do. And I want to share it. And if, you know, the answers deal with it outside of this, I'm fine with this. I just really believe that it's coming. And
well, no, I mean, that was such an eye-opener when this guy bought this house. 36 people had been living in it. They were all, like, immigrants working at Microsoft, really, you know. There were not enough bathrooms. People were using buckets in the garage. There was, for toilets. I mean, and this was in Sahali. This is in a very nice part of town. And this guy got deported, and all these people then were put out on the street, you know, and I mean, it was just like really bad. I mean, like the people living there were not having a good time. They, you know, they were 36 people.
You'd think that they would be making enough money at Microsoft to be able to afford better accommodations.
You would think. I don't think all of them worked at Microsoft. I think the one that
maybe the kingpins.
But anyway, this is I think this is an issue that is appropriate for us because, you know, Houghton, more than anything, is a residential community, and you know, our neighborhood, we're trying to preserve the character. That's our mission, and so let's take the lead on this. I commend you, John.
Yeah. And we have the university in our area.
I think it's very worthwhile. So
you still have issues.
It's more complicated than that, and I'll just have to think about it for a while.
Okay.
We're not saying that we're just saying I think that it merits exploration and look at different alternatives to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the meetings, the chair of the Planning Commission asked me directly, John, what would you do? What do you suggest? And I'm like, I do this for a living, and I'm stuck. I'm absolutely stuck.
Oh, there's solutions.
Bellevue's dealing with it.
John, I have got to believe there are solutions out there. To me, the simple one's occupancy. You can put occupancy limits, and that's not in violation of federal law. It's how you structure it. But at any rate, with that, meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Sony.